I'd ask that you turn to Paul's letter to his church there as we speak of the church of Jesus Christ in Ephesus, the book of Ephesians, and we turn to chapter 3 as we have gone through the first two chapters. We come to this amazing point where it speaks of the church and how the church is to be that instrument that God is going to use. So you can also look on the back of your bulletin, and there's an outline there of what we'll be speaking concerning the church of Jesus Christ, its foundation, its people, and its mission. The Apostle Paul is actually writing from prison this amazing letter to the church, and he says in verse 1, "For this reason, I, Paul, the prisoner of Christ Jesus, for the sake of you Gentiles." Surely you have heard about the administration of God's grace that was given to me for you. That is the mystery made known to me by revelation, as I have already written briefly. In reading this, then, you will be able to understand my insight into the mystery of Christ, which was not made known to men in other generations, as it has now been revealed by the Spirit to God's holy apostles and prophets. This mystery is that through the gospel, the Gentiles are heirs together with Israel, members together of one body, and sharers together in the promise in Christ Jesus. And then he says, "I became a servant of this gospel by the gift of God's grace given to me through the working of his power. Although I am less than the least of all God's people, this grace was given me to preach to the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ and to make plain to everyone the administration of this mystery, which was for ages past kept secret, hidden in God who created all things." His intent was that now, through the church, the manifold wisdom of God should be made known to the rulers and authorities in the heavenly realms, according to his eternal purpose, which he accomplished in Christ Jesus our Lord. In him, and through faith in him, we may approach God with freedom and confidence. I ask you, therefore, not to be discouraged because of my suffering for you, which are your glory. This letter is God's word. Amazing. He wrote all of his letters, the apostle of Jesus Christ, with the authority of Christ, chosen by Christ, this apostle of Christ, a prisoner of Christ, wrote all of his letters to churches. So as we open up this passage of Scripture, we need to see that it's something written for the church. And it's for us this very day. Now, as you look at the passage, I want to draw your attention to what I have as my title for this message. And that is, so what's the big deal about the church? Now, there's all kinds of people that when they look and read the scriptures, they find that the church is called the New Jerusalem. The church is called the New Israel. The church is called the body of Christ. The church is called all these wonderful things. And yet there's a certain almost disdain for the church. It's not such a great thing. And sometimes there's real reasons for that. Certainly there are those who are hypocrites in the church, and there are those who are leaders and preachers in the church that are what we would call charlatans at best, sometimes crooks of all kinds. And sometimes there's false teaching in the church. So there may be good reason to see reformation take place in the church. Yes. But at the same time, I wonder if it isn't quite often that people have a sort of disdain for the church, even Christians, that it's not much. It's not with a great deal of glory and pageantry and money and greatness and grandeur as the world would see it. It's not much. And yet, I want us to look at this word that we have in the outline there for you. It's the word in the Greek for church or assembly. I want us to say it together so we'll all have it. Ekklesia. Let's say it. Ekklesia. It has to do with ek, out, ek in the Greek, and then klesia comes from kaleo, to call out, so therefore it's all the totality of the called out ones, the assembly of God's people, the called out ones, the ones that belong to Him. They are the church, the ones He's called out for Himself. Now, I would have you just note from the right here in the very beginning, all of Paul's letters are to these churches. They are the called out ones. It's the institution that God has put together. It's His idea. It's created in Christ Jesus. The church, ecclesia. It's not the organization, and I'm trying to somehow or another not name any particular organization. Maybe, you know, it's not Camping for Jesus or Sports for Jesus, or it's not Movies for Jesus, or it's not somehow or another Botany for Christ or something of that nature. That's not what He's put together. These all may be nice organizations and somehow or another helpful in some way or another. But it's the church that He came and gave His life for. It's the church that He gave elders and deacons. It's the church that He has set aside in that special sense of His love and care. So I would have you look. That first thing that I would note in this passage is that the church is important. It's a big deal because He has built it upon the foundation of the Word of God. It's a big deal to God that He's given it the foundation of the Word of God. Notice what we have in verse 5 of Ephesians 3. It has that explanation of really what we have in Ephesians 2:20 when He says how the people, God's people, members of His household, verse 20 of chapter 2, built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets with Christ Jesus Himself as the chief cornerstone. Then here in verse 5 of chapter 3, He says, which was not made known to men in other generations, as it has now been revealed by the Spirit to God's holy apostles and prophets. He's speaking there in a wonderful sense. Yes, we know how the Old Testament prophets, they were the ones who spoke, thus saith the Lord, using the old kind of King James language. It's there in the Old Testament hundreds and hundreds of times. Thus saith the Lord. They were speaking the Word of God. Or you have the illustration there with, as Moses said, well, I'm not very good at speaking. And he complains, how can I go before Pharaoh? How can I be this one who is going to stand there before Pharaoh, this great king? I'm not able. And so he speaks to him and tells him how his brother Aaron is going to be as a prophet to him, as his mouthpiece, and he will be as God to Pharaoh, and this one will speak on his behalf, his brother Aaron. Those who were prophets, they were the mouthpiece of God. They were speaking with that authority that God gave. In fact, Jeremiah 23 goes over again and again how those who say, I have a dream, God told me, they have not been authorized. He has not spoken through them. It's through His chosen prophets of the Old Testament. But as we come to the New Testament, we have that group that were special, chosen by Jesus Christ. They're called the sent ones. the apostolo, the apostello, the sent ones, the apostles. Those were commissioned to be with Christ and to tell in an authorized way, being given His Holy Spirit for that very purpose of writing and giving us the gospel message authorized by Christ Himself. They had to have these qualifications. They had to be commissioned by Christ, the resurrected Christ. And so these are the ones who gave to us the foundation, the New Testament that we read. These New Testament prophets, they are the ones that also are there, as we have those who wrote different parts of the New Testament, such as Luke and Acts, written by one who is in that sense a New Testament prophet. He spoke the word of God, but he was not one of those apostles. We would have Mark in the same way. They spoke the word of God as a apostle prophet, the band that God chose to give us the foundation upon which the church is built, the very New Testament that gives us the full light and understanding of the Old Testament scriptures. So the church has a foundation. Let me give you very quickly three verses that are very important for you to note down and have as an understanding of that foundation of the church of Jesus Christ, the church that He has built upon this foundation. The first verse is 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 11. You should have these in your mind. Have an understanding that this is that foundation. We read there, Paul writing, "For no one can lay any foundation other than the one already laid, which is Jesus Christ." There's no other foundation but that one that has already been laid, that apostolic foundation appointed by Jesus Christ Himself. And then a second passage, Matthew 16:18, that we read earlier, and there those words ring out for many of us with clarity, how Jesus says, "I will build my church." And there He's speaking in such clarity when He says in verse 18, "And I tell you, you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades will not overcome it." Peter is that first one of the apostles. He stands up on the day of Pentecost. He is the one who stands and says, "Here is the good news. Here is what is happening on this day of Pentecost." He preaches that first sermon, the first apostolic sermon. He is the one who writes 1 and 2 Peter. He is that first one among the apostles in his leadership role among those 12. He has that foundation participation in a special way. And on this foundation, on this rock, yes, not on any other, not even on the person as an individual, but upon this wonderful confession, upon this powerful New Testament, upon this wonderful rock, the foundation, the church of Jesus Christ is built. A third passage that I want you to mark down carefully. We have first 1 Corinthians 3:11 and then Matthew 16:18, but then turn to Jesus' prayer in John 17. John 17, He is praying, first of all, that He would have that glory again with His Father as He returns to His Father. Then He prays for the ones that He had been given, the ones that are spoken of as the apostles. Verse 13 of John 17, and He's speaking and praying to the Father, "I'm coming to you now, but I say these things while I am still in the world, so that they may have the full measure of my joy within them. I have given them, the apostles, your word, and the world has hated them, for they are not of the world any more than I am of the world. My prayer is not that you take them out of the world, but that you protect them from the evil one. And then he goes on, but I want you to come down to verse 20. Jesus prays. He says, my prayer is not for them, that is the apostles alone. I pray also for those who will believe in me through their word or message. We have come to believe in Jesus Christ through the apostolic word. It's not just hearsay. It's they wrote for us with joy. They wrote for us the good news, the gospel. They wrote for us these letters. They wrote for us that which is the very foundation of the church of Jesus Christ. The whole, the totality of all who are called out to have come to believe through their message, through what they have written, through that apostolic word, the New Testament. I ask, do we see the preciousness of the foundation? The New Testament gives us understanding for the Old Testament, but it gives us understanding for how there is a foundation for our lives, for the church, for all of us. It is that which is firm and solid. We can trust it. But notice the church has a people. And here is the good news. It's very amazing. Ephesians chapter 3 has these words as Paul writes to them and he gives to them this mystery. Verse 3, he says, that is the mystery made known to you, to me, by revelation, as I have already written briefly. He goes on through this passage and he notes again and again. Verse 4, he speaks of the mystery. In reading this, then you will be able to understand my insight into the mystery of Christ. Again, come down to verse 6. This mystery is that through the gospel. And then again, verse 9, it tells us there again, I believe, of that mystery. Yes, he makes plain to everyone the administration of this mystery, which for ages past was kept secret in God who created all things. What is this mystery? Now, we usually think of mystery as, you know, if we have someone who's a good writer here, they can write a mystery story, and we would all maybe kind of be reading along, and there's, what is this kind of dark kind of thing that's coming to be, and we're not sure what's happening and who did it or what happened, and there's mystery, something kind of dark and secret. But that meaning is not at all what is here in Scripture. The mysterion, the mystery, has to do that with what has been, yes, hidden in ages past, but God has made it known by revelation to his people, to all. It's not just something for the elite or for some chosen group of people. It's for all. And what is that mystery? Given to us with such clarity, it's what we might call a double oneness. He starts out by saying, Jews and Gentiles are now no longer two, but one. Now that's a big thing. If you remember anything about the Jews, and we almost always have to have our mind remember this, but they kept themselves separate. Remember, they would go to the marketplace, and when they would come back from the marketplace, they had to do what? Wash their hands. They might have contaminated them with germs. No, with Gentiles. They might have touched one. They needed to get themselves cleansed. This is a shocking statement. It's something Paul is dealing with that had its roots all the way back in the Old Testament when God made the promise to Abraham that the Jews, that seed of the Jews, would be a blessing for all nations, all Gentiles, all races, all tribes, everyone. Through that seed of Abraham, there would be this great blessing that would come. They knew that. But it was like something that it was not revealed to them then as it is now. That no longer are Jews and Gentiles separated. No longer is there a wall between them. They are one. And that means all of us in Christ are one. It's an amazing thing. It's what I would call the double oneness. That is, we become in Christ one with the Lord Himself. And in Christ we become one with all who are in Christ. There's a double oneness that's here. That union we have with the Lord is also a union that's real and organic with all who are in Christ. Whatever language, color, background, ethnicity, it's all rubbed out and we come together as one. There's something radical in this, in the completeness of what Paul is saying here. In fact, verse 6, notice what he says. It's quite a powerful statement. He says, this mystery is that through the gospel, the Gentiles are heirs together with Israel. That's, you know, Israel, they were heirs of all God's wonderful promises and everything. And then he says, members together of one body, sharers together in the promise in Christ Jesus. Three times, together, together, together. There's no place for, well, we're not going to associate with them. If you're in Christ, you're one with your brother, with your sister. There's a compassion, a oneness, a caring, a family. It's an encouraging place to be part of that family of God. Now, some of this people certainly at times don't want to receive. They want to bring up a whole theology that they can kind of keep people separate in different ways. But that's contrary to the Scriptures. The good news, the gospel is that in the second Adam, Jesus Christ, that which was lost, that which was separated, is now brought together in the Lord. We are one, unique. There's nothing else quite like this in all the organizations of this world. Nothing comparable to it. It changes people. You know, we can discuss at length what's happening in the corruption or the murders in Chicago every night. There's one answer, the gospel. It brings people together, whether they're black or white or whatever background they may have. It's the gospel that will bring them together. Churches need to be concerned with the gospel for those places. It's the church that God uses. God has ordained and planned to be the place where our sanctification, our oneness with Him and with each other takes place. Just a couple weeks ago, I had this quote in the bulletin, and I want to give it to you again. I think it is so very important for us as God's people. It's a statement from Tim Keller that I think is good for us, and that we need to realize that it's with the body, with others who are sinners, just like we are, that God does that work of drawing us closer to Himself. Keller writes, Christians commonly say they want a relationship with Jesus, that they want to get to know Jesus better. And Keller says, you will never be able to do that by yourself. You must be deeply involved in the church, in Christian community, with strong relationships of love and accountability. If only if you are part of a community of believers seeking to resemble, serve, and love Jesus, will you ever get to know Him and grow into His likeness. Yes, the church needs reformation. Yes, the church needs God's presence in a greater way. But it is an amazing place, the church of Jesus Christ. He has instituted it, founded it upon his word, and he has gathered his people together. There's one last very important point from this passage, and that's the church's mission. As you read through the last verses of this passage of Ephesians 3, verses 8 through 13, it speaks to us of a mission of the church. Now, verse 10 really speaks to that. And what is the mission of the church? There, it shows us that God's intent right now is to make known his manifold wisdom to the rulers and authorities in the heavenly realms. Now, how is his manifold wisdom to be made known? Now, sometimes we can almost get to thinking it's to be done through, you know, our political process, or somehow or another the Congress can really make it happen, or the president, or the Supreme Court, or whatever great important thing you may be working towards. But it's in the Scriptures. It's the church. It's that thing called the church that doesn't seem like much. People despise it. But it's the church of Christ. Ecclesia. The totality of those that have been called together, that belong to Jesus, that are his own, a worshiping people. Little old cornerstone. Not much. But God has a purpose. He's ordained that these churches, these gatherings of his people, they are the ones who are to make known the glory of God. Now, we believe that if that glory is to be made known to those around us and to the very ends of the earth, as he writes one of his letters to there in Thessalonica, he says that the truth, the gospel, rang out from you to all these people, so that the apostle didn't have to even speak of the gospel because they'd already heard. They knew the manner in which they had received the gospel, turning from idols to serve the living and true God. Good news. It's through the church that the gospel's to be spread all around the earth. But there's something more in this passage. Look at it with me just for a moment. There in verse 10. Verse 10 of Ephesians. He says, his intent was that now, through the church, the manifold wisdom of God should be made known to the rulers and authorities in the heavenly realms. Now, this expression is taken by those who are the Greek scholars and commentators. Almost without exception, they take it to refer to those who are the messengers of God, those who are the rulers in heavenly realms, those that we would speak of as those angelic beings. It's the church that is to show forth this manifold wisdom of God. Now, this wisdom of God, of course, we do have in Ephesians chapter 2, that great emphasis upon we're saved by God's grace. It's the wonder and glory that those who are dead in sins and trespasses are made alive in Christ, saved by grace through faith. And that not of yourselves, it is a gift of God. Good news. But there's something interesting in all this. Peter, in 1 Peter, I believe it's chapter 1, verse 12, it says that the angels stoop down to look into these things. Now, that's kind of an interesting expression, isn't it? You can kind of almost picture these great beings of glory that serve God night and day, and the powers, the authorities of heavenly realms. And they look down to see and understand this manifold wisdom of God. Now, I think there's something in the back of this all that's interesting. You know, we have the fallen angels. There's no Savior for the fallen angels. They have fallen. They've rebelled against God. There's no hope. There's no place. So the angels that are the servants of God, they look down. How can it be? How can it be that this God who they proclaim as holy, holy, holy. Lord God Almighty, the whole earth is full of your glory. He's a God of holiness and justice. How can you bring salvation to these fallen human beings, sinners? They stoop down to see, how can he do this? And it's that wonder of all wonders that he sends his own son to die for sinners such as we are. It's the wonder of it all. How can we not be staggered with this truth? How can we not be amazed and thrilled and in wonder and awe that he would send his son to die for us? That's the only way. That's the manifold grace of God. That's the manifold wisdom of God. That's something that should thrill us. It's marvelous. It's wonderful. It's amazing grace. It's like a kaleidoscope. The more you turn it, the more it changes, and you see all the different colors and the wonder and all of it all. Yes, first creation, I think you're pretty good at enjoying and saying, wonderful, thrilling, marvelous, the Grand Canyon, Yosemite, El Capitan, to be there to see it, the La Merced, the river coming down through the valley, or to go to the top of Half Dome, or whatever the glory of standing at the Grand Canyon and just seeing the majesty of these great forests, God's wonder of first creation. But there's something here much more even. That God in his second creation, he created the church. His second creation that we can speak of with thrilling, wonderful, marvelous, what he has done to bring sinners, Gentiles, Jews, all different nations, languages, races, all these different peoples together as one. That's amazing. That's thrilling. That's marvelous. It is a big deal. Yes. The church, a big deal? Yes, it is to God. He gave his son for the church. He gave it a foundation to be built upon. He has brought, yes, in a wonderful way, something that's a mission for the church to spread the good news to all. It's really central to God's great plan, the church. It's a big, big, big deal. Because in Jesus Christ, he has done that which the angels marvel at. And yes, we are to be marveling at what he has done. I would ask that you hear me just on a personal word. I got up at about 5 this morning, and I remembered 46 years ago, I didn't sleep all night. It was the birth of our daughter in Philadelphia. And I remember she was born about 3:56 in the morning. And I came across Philadelphia through the parks and where we lived. I remember coming, and I was pretty tired. Not as tired as my wife. But I was pretty tired, and I was looking forward to getting in the house. And I went, the door was locked, and those we had staying inside were still asleep, and they weren't going to hear me banging on the door. They didn't hear me banging on the door. So I remember I went and set out in this garden on this estate where we lived. And just as the sun was coming up and the wonder and glory, it's a big deal. A daughter has been born. Wow. Wow. The church is a big deal to God. I love those words of the hymn we sang. The church's one foundation is Jesus Christ, her Lord. She is his new creation by water and the word. From heaven he came and sought her to be his holy bride. With his own blood he bought her, and for her life he died. May God open our eyes to see that the church is a big deal for us and for God. Let's pray. Our Father, we do thank you for the beauty of your creation. We thank you for the beauty of those things you have given to us, and that we are thrilled. We can say wonderful, marvelous. And as we were reminded, you are the God who sings over your new creation in Jesus Christ, your church. And we pray, Lord, you'd give us eyes to see, hearts of thanksgiving for the privilege of being part of your church and belonging to Jesus Christ, the head of your church. We ask, Lord, you would touch our hearts afresh with the privilege that is ours to belong to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.